Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All good things must come to an end, and sometimes that end is an abrupt one. Ladies, we have an announcement. Hey, Jess.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be a thing. It's going to be a whole thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing. Yeah. It is. I'm like, I can't start crying yet. It's too early.
It is, in fact, too early to start crying. However, do you know what this reminds me of a little bit? Because I feel like we're going through something.
I'm like trying to think of like what it reminds you of.
Yeah.
I can't.
What? Okay. No, I got one. I think you're going to agree. This feels a little bit like that moment when mom and dad are like, hey, kids, we want to talk to you in the living room. And then you find out that they're getting a divorce. And you're like, wait, what?
I was not even thinking we were – that is fantastic.
Right? It's kind of like that. A little bit. We're like, yeah, we're like just casual going to talk. By the way, everything you came to expect is over. You're like, what?
What? And you're like, my whole life has been a lie.
I know. It hasn't, listeners. It has not been a lie. But I feel like that's what we're going through, this like whole thing, and we have all this information ahead of time about what we're about to talk about, and our poor listeners are just sitting in the dark. And yeah, we have something to say. We need to tell you something. We need to talk. Let's sit down in the living room.
We need to talk.
Yeah.
How about that? Can you come see me in my office and close your door? Close the door when you come in.
We're not firing them. It's
We're
just
firing
that
ourselves.
That's true.
Oh,
okay. Okay. Well, what do you want to tell everybody? What are we here for? Why are we here? What's the point?
So today is going to be our last Honest Women episode.
Oh. I know. I knew you were going to say it, and I still, golly.
I know. I'm like, I can't tell on the screen very well, but I'm like, I think her eyes are glossy.
They are. Why do you got to say something like that, Jessica?
Ooh. I know. I'm calling you out. You can still find us on YouTube.
No,
folks.
Not about my glossy eyes, about this being the last episode. Again, I have known for a few weeks. We've known for a little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God we've known for a little bit, or this would be a whole other disaster of an episode.
It would be. It would be. Why don't we walk everybody through kind of what has happened over the last couple months? I almost feel like we have to be like, in the beginning,
Let's take it back. Let's
bring it back. We weren't young, but two younger than now therapists.
Girl, we were young. We weren't even 40 yet. When we had this dream.
True.
When we first had a dream about this podcast, we were not yet.
All right. So two much younger in their 30s therapists were dreaming about a way to take what came up in therapy all the time and to start talking about it with more people. I mean, I think that was essentially our aim when we got started.
Yes. Was to have deeper conversations and to help people feel less alone. That was a big one. Listen, we hear it inside of our offices all the time. People come in and say, I'm going through this thing and I feel so alone in it. And this was a way to tell the world and to tell so many people that you're not alone in it. There are a lot of people experiencing what you are going through.
Right.
We just need to learn how to talk about it.
Yes, 100%. And I know when that happens in my office, I'm like, you're literally not the first person who brought that up today. You know, this is still true. Yeah. Yeah. But we can't actually be like, hey, 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, do you guys want to meet, like get coffee? Because you
I've strategically thought that sometimes, like, I wonder if I can schedule these two right back to back and they can just meet each other and know they're going through the same thing. And I'll be like, oh, weird. I didn't know.
That's so crazy that you guys met in the waiting room and hit it off. I think also that it's not just the people that we see, it's anyone. Any modern woman who's trying to juggle the marriage and the kids and the career, I think we all feel squeezed in really similar ways. Oh, and yeah. Because we're running so fast and we're under so much pressure, we just don't get to connect about it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we wanted to do. And then like years went by because pandemic, and also it's hard to actually start a project.
It is really hard start a project. Yep. And especially a podcast. It is so much work. Good work.
We had no idea. So we bought microphones one day and we're like, let's start tomorrow. And then we were like, oh shit, that is not the way it goes. And so then we had a few months last year at the beginning of 2023 where we were just working behind the scenes, like trying to figure out what we were going to say. Oh my gosh, do you remember how bad our recordings were at the beginning? Yeah.
I was just thinking someday when we are big and famous, because we still have big dreams and big goals, I'm going to release that.
No, I am going to add that to our partnership agreement since we've had to write out
what we have
agreed to. No pre-honest women, no unrecorded episodes. Oh my God, they were so
We would record for like an hour and then so listen to it and be
it
like,
was so bad.
What are we talking about?
Oh my gosh, it was so bad.
We talk in circles.
Yeah, but then we worked really hard and busted our ass and learned all these things that we didn't think we'd have to learn. And then we released our first episode. And then the crazy, I mean, that was the thing. Like if that had been it,
I know.
That would have been, I mean, we did it, right? But then the crazy thing happened where we got an email from Bert Weiss, who had started a podcast network and was like, I think you're great. And I think in that moment, we were both like, yeah.
What?
Well, we are.
We were like, wait, what? I mean, we know we're great, but wait, somebody else thinks we're great?
I know. Actually, that first day, we were like, yeah.
It was early.
It was the first day. That first day, we were like, oh my gosh, just wait till the offers come rolling in. You know, we're halfway to famous now. But we ended up over the course of the summer deciding to partner with this new podcast network, Pioneer. And
best decision we ever made.
Best decision we've ever made. If you are a podcaster and you're like, I wonder if I should partner with a network, you should look at Pioneer.
You should look at Pioneer. Yeah. Truly, I think that ending this podcast is one whole thing. Not being able to work with them is a whole other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a very difficult piece of this. So we grew, right? And then the podcast network grew alongside us. And so we started to get to work with more people and there was more great ideas. And around last spring, we were like aiming towards kind of like next level, like bigger and better. Let's do a rebrand. Let's do a big launch. Let's do this stuff. Then like summer, and then recently we started having those conversations again. And like a month ago, it was like, okay, we all sat down and the plans and the expansiveness of like what comes next was laid out on the table. And we were like, obviously, this is the next step. Duh. Mm-hmm. You know,
We were excited about it.
100% excited about it. Like, yeah, let's go. And then over the course of a little bit of time, we started to go, is this the next step or is this a pivot point? Is this a turning point? We have to like decide, are we going to double down, lean in, go bigger, go better, go more, or not?
Mm-hmm.
And so we started having like, it was so funny that the choice to lean in led to some honest conversations that we probably needed to have for a while about like, okay, how are we doing? Like, can we do this? By the way, anyone who listens to this podcast, if just go back and listen to like everything we released in August,
Literally everything.
You'll be like, the whole thing. But also everything from August. You'll hear like the honest conversations happening in real time on the show. Like, so burnt out, really struggling, kind of drowning. You'll hear all of that stuff. But I think as happens with something that you love, it's like you kind of make it to the next week and you go like, oh, that recording was actually great. I loved how that came out. And someone will say, I loved that. And you'll be like, I loved it too. And then you're like, okay, one more week. So the conversations were happening on the podcast, but they were never really happening in real life in a reflective way, because when we started, we just were aiming for the sky, you know?
We just kept going. Mm-hmm. We kept going. Mm-hmm. I know I'm already getting emotional. Are you watching me?
Yeah. Yes. So I didn't find out if you want to actually share kind of the last week.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't. Okay. Last week. You know, here's the thing about a podcast. It's so fun. And I still am having a hard time letting go of this. This mm-hmm. is by far, and I'll talk a little bit more about it later in the episode, but this is the closest I've felt to grief in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I've gone through some grief. But mm-hmm. this has been pretty heavy. But like Andrea is saying, listen to everything in August. And I mean, seriously, sometimes everything's already pointing to something. You just haven't quite realized it yet. And right. so we had this amazing, amazing meeting. And I say amazing because I truly was so excited about it. Mm-hmm. And we were going to do a big rebrand and new name, new photos, same two women, same mm-hmm. purpose, but it was going to look a little bit different. And I was really excited about it. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though, is running your own private practice is a full-time job. Being a mom is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. Being a wife is a full-time job. Being mm-hmm. a friend is a full-time job. Having a podcast is a full-time job.
It really is.
It is really a is. Full-time job. And, you know, Andrea and I are watching. Here's the thing. There's no logic in this decision, truly, because mm-hmm. logically, look at the numbers. Our numbers are only going up. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. This is what is hard with logic versus emotion, is the numbers mm-hmm. are only going up, right? And who quits something that's getting better mm-hmm. and going well, mm-hmm. right? So we have this meeting. Andrea and I kind of offhand or offline have a conversation about the rebrand. And mm-hmm. do we want to just try to like get this out as soon as possible? And is that right? And we were like, no, I don't think that's going to be the best choice for us.
Well, we were like, literally, we can't.
Yeah, it was
you know,
more.
I had called a photographer, and then we're like, okay, well, when would we schedule pictures? And then
we couldn't find a date.
Wait, what is the cut? Like, what are we doing? And then, you know, when you go, we were at capacity, probably over capacity. And then you're like, so how will we literally do this? Like, how will we actually accomplish this? And we started to be like, we're going to have to figure something out, because that is not it. Okay. All right. So we're having this conversation.
We had a good conversation about that and kind of came to mm-hmm. a really good conclusion on what we were going to do. And I emailed Mike, who's the president of Pioneer, and said, hey, can we have a meeting on Monday? And this mm-hmm. was what, Friday? Probably Thursday. Mm-hmm. We're like, hey, let's talk on Monday. And then, mm-hmm. I don't know, Andrea, did you get a text message from me?
I sure did. I sure did.
And tell him what I said.
I wish I actually had it in front of me, but you were like, I had like a scary health event that happened last night. Our conversation might need to be different on Monday.
So go ahead.
No. And then I was like, what happened?
I think I was like, you know, in typical Jessica form, I think I was like, oh, I was in the ER. It's not a big deal. It's fine.
You were like, I was in the ER last night. So like NBD. But it was really scary, but like also not a big deal, but we might need to change direction. You know, the conversation we have Monday might need to go in a totally different direction, but also not. Like mm-hmm. within 24 hours, first you were like, it needs to go in a different direction. Then you had a lot going on that day. Then I was mm-hmm. like, Jessica, are we going to talk? And by the next morning, you were like, no, nothing needs to change. I was like, what? What are you talking about?
You guys, this is what it's like inside my head on a day-to-day basis. It's like all the time. Because again, logic. There was no logic in it. So essentially what had happened is it's happened a couple times before. Both times it happened, happened to be when I was in the hospital. But essentially it is just, it's a stress response. It's a trauma-based type of response where your blood pressure drops very, very low and your breathing gets very not great. So the first time it happened, it was when I thought I was in labor with my son and I went in the hospital. Thank God I was in the hospital because it dropped so low. They had to actually inject some adrenaline in. It was a thing. It wasn't great. Mm-hmm. That was the first time it happened. Nobody knew why. Second time it happened, I happened to be getting a cortisone injection in my neck, and it happened. I was in the hospital as well because of where the injection was going, and it was just kind of ruled, you know, when your body is under stress.
Yeah.
And that's it's a trauma-based response within your body. So going into labor makes sense. Getting something injected into like your spine essentially makes sense. This one didn't make sense when it happened. By the grace of God, truly, I happened to be at a fundraiser right next door to the hospital. Literally, like the ER was right there. And I was just sitting, not even sitting. I was talking to some of my very close friends about nothing of really anything in it. And it happened. And they actually thought maybe I was having a stroke because I got very, very cognitively confused. Again, not sure why, but all they can bring it back to is just stress. And so that was kind of my slap in the face. Plus my husband kind of yelling at me the next day, telling me, like, come on. Like, what is it going to take for you to realize that you're trying to do too much?
Yeah. So, which you had to have because you literally would never have, you would have to be like incapacity. You could be in the hospital and be like, you know what? We can do that recording Friday. And I'd be
100%.
Like, no, you're not doing that. Like even the day after this horrible, scary thing happened, you had commitments that you were meeting and, you know, you were like, actually, never mind. And, you know, it just became like very clear that, you know, you can say, I'm drowning, and then like brush it off. But then, you know, your body's like, no, actually, like, let's stop.
No, you like, know? Actually, you can't do this.
Right.
And sadly, it often takes me something big to acknowledge that. And I still struggle with it because of the logic. Who quits a project that's doing well, that is growing? Who quits that, right? There is absolutely no logic in it. But
I actually think there is some logic in it. I was thinking about this morning.
Okay, help me understand it. Yeah, okay, please help me understand. I don't. I got it because I can't find it.
Yeah, I got it. So one of the things that we didn't know about podcasting when we started is that it's really hard to make it part of your career. It, for a lot of people, it's part of a business. It's part of a presence. There's a lot of things for it. But unless you're like Tim Ferriss or Glennon Doyle or Dax Shepard, like it's hard to make it part of your career. And by career, I mean income. So here's what we kind of thought when we started was like, we'll have a podcast and if it is successful, we will be able to reduce other work that we have to be able to make space for it. And so some of the thought was like, as long as we work really, really hard and it's successful, which it is by all, you know, by all accounts, it's successful, that will result in us being able to do this as more of our job because something has to give. Like you can't do your full-time job and your full-time life and your full-time wifing and your kids and then another like big project on top of it, not forever. And so I think that's where some of the logic comes in is that you go, I just don't have enough hours and I'm not getting rid of my kids or my husband or my job. So although like I kind of am, that'll come later, but but that's where the logic comes in. So long story short, we end up having this meeting with Mike Morris, the president of Pioneer, who we love. And all three of us together decided that, like, while we were thinking, okay, maybe we stretch our timeline, maybe we do this a little bit later, and maybe we leave this hang, we ended up deciding in that meeting, which was pretty quick, like, it's the end of the project.
To be fair, yeah. I think it was you two telling me, like, hey, because I think I was, I mean, if anybody is a Friends lover, I am like the episode of Phoebe after she has a heart attack and she's like in the hospital, like still on her laptop working. And she's like, I'm totally fine. It's fine. Like, I'm
you're
fine.
You are also Jesse Spano from that iconic 100%. Saved by the Bell episode. You could literally have been on like life support and you'd be like, I think we should give it more time though. And I'd be like, no, like, no, we're not going to do that.
You guys, I don't leave things easily.
She does not. Mm-hmm. She does not. You know what? Now that we've told people about what's happened, let's talk more about how this decision has hit us emotionally and how we're making meaning of all this after the break.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's been abrupt to tell our listeners this. And in the moment, it was very abrupt because what needed to happen and what was happening, and even in a way what we agreed needed to happen, has this whole emotional other side to it that's just, like you said, the emotions and the logic, they don't always meet up. And I think this happens a lot during change. I think this is very, very common. So why don't we talk a little bit about like what that was like, what it was like for you, what it's like now, how you're making meaning of it, all of that good stuff.
Well, and I love that you say making meaning because that's such a part of grief. Mm-hmm. And I said earlier in the episode that this was the closest I have felt to grief in a very long time. Mm-hmm. And that was the only meaning I could apply to it for a while was I'm trying to make sense out of something that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And that is what I speak to from a place of sudden traumatic loss all the time is how do you make sense out of something that is senseless? Mm-hmm. And that's how this felt for a while. For a while.
I think you went through all the stages of grief in like the first week for sure. You were mad and sad, so sad, but so mad, but also so sad.
Well, because I don't quit things. Mm-hmm. I don't quit. I'm not a quitter. I've never been a quitter. I won't quit coffee.
They will be rolling your coffin down the like aisle of the church and you'll be like, I'm back.
I'll be like, bitches, I'm back.
Right.
Don't 100%. Put me in the ground. I will not go in the ground.
Yeah.
No, I don't quit. I don't quit, which is why
it felt like quitting.
It felt like quitting.
That was the meaning you were making in that moment was
I'm being a quitter. Quitting. I'm being a quitter. I am leaving a project that I started that I have so much passion for. Mm-hmm. Like that is the thing is my end goal has not changed. Mm-hmm. The things I want to do in this world have not changed.
Right.
And so it's easier to walk away from something when you're like, okay, that's not really what I want to be doing. I did a community-based project here in Barrington and things take off. And that sounds weird to say or maybe egotistical, but when I do something, I do it. Mm-hmm. Period, end of subject. It's not like half-ass. And so to walk away from something just felt like I was quitting, which is against my DNA. And so the anger was at self and like, why? Why do I have to quit? This isn't fair. I don't want to do this. Like insert 11-year-old me. right? Saying I'm not gonna quit. And then just being profoundly sad because again, you have these dreams and these goals and these visions that have not changed.
Right.
And it's like, wait a minute, what am I doing? What is happening? And then, mm-hmm. you know, a big part, which I've come to find out, Andrea, is that, and we've talked a little bit about this, is I truly love the work that I do mm-hmm. and in the grief space. And what I realized through this whole experience is how universal grief is. And then it's not just about the loss of a life. Mm-hmm. It's the loss of a marriage. It's the loss of a project. It's the loss of a partnership. It's the loss or of a dream, of mm-hmm. a goal. And in order to truly go full throttle with this project, I would have had to give up something that I truly love.
Yeah.
And it wasn't going to be my family. I can tell you that. That's number right. one. But the work that I do, well, my health, minor right. details, but you know, come on, you know, I have to crack
your
joke.
Your body, your mind, your like literal heartbeat.
I mean, literally minor details, friend. But I would have had to back off what I do on a day-to-day basis. And that still, I remember we did an episode. We never released it because we couldn't really figure out where we were going with it. Do you remember mm-hmm. where it was kind of like, what would you do? What was it? Like, what would you do if you could do anything kind of episode? Oh, do you remember okay. that?
That was like back in the day?
It was way back. And I okay. remember we start recording it, you guys, and Andrea's like, okay, Jess, like, what would you do if you could do? I'm like, I would like have a treatment center for like suicidal ideation and I like everything would be free and it would just, and she was like, wait, what? Seriously? I like, really? And I was like, yes. And it would okay. just help all these people out. And you were like, this is not the direction I thought this episode was going to go.
And we didn't release that? Okay. Yeah, maybe. No,
we never did because we just couldn't. Like, it was so, we couldn't figure out where we were going with it. Yeah. But that is, at the truth of the matter is that I have so much passion for helping others, which is why I wanted to start this project, is because mm-hmm. I wanted to help more people. And I do think we did that. We reached mm-hmm. that goal and helped yeah. people feel more connected. But I just couldn't give up my day-to-day inside my office because I just love what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think once you started to frame it in terms of grief, it started to pull the pieces together. Mm-hmm. Because I think what you said, like the, you know, in a lot of ways at this moment, it's the end of a dream. Mm-hmm. And I really resonate with this sense of like, but it's something that's going well and that we're proud of and that we don't hate. Like we really like. And if it were as simple as just showing up and being like, bah, 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 like mm-hmm. for 30 minutes once a week, I mean, we would do that, but it's not.
Because we're not Brené, we're not Glennon,
no,
right? We're not no. Dax,
right?
Not Joe. I mean, you know, you really have to be one of those big names to just show up and talk.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So for me, and it was really funny to see how differently we present, although I think we feel a lot of the same feelings. It took us a little while to be like, no, I feel the same way that you do. Our lives have been running in a lot of ways parallel, but in a lot of ways different. Mm-hmm. And over the last couple of years, I've been doing a lot of internal family systems work, and I've been doing a lot of like trying to tap into just like how is my life working? Where do I want to go? And the best way I can describe how the last maybe 6 months to a year have been is that like I know deep in my gut that like something needs to change. I know it like deep in my soul that something needs to change. And that is also weird because now I've had a lot of practice at going, what if I stop something that I love or something that I'm good at, is possible that it's not a failure? Like I've been mm-hmm. taking a lot of at-bats on that one over the last couple years, but especially since the beginning of this year, for sure. And I don't know how to describe it, except that I have been in a season of no. I think I started to, and I talked about dread, you know, around July, like thinking about going back to school for my kids, I just felt dread. Everything inside of me has just been like, no, no, don't want to do that. Don't, like, even things that I've enjoyed, I just can't. Like, it's not working for me to hold all the things that I'm holding. And so, you know, there was a time where there was a part of me that just needed to go like more, better, bigger, more, keep going. You know, if you can do it, you should do it. If you are going to be the, you know, you should do it if you're going to be the best at it. If you're going to do it, you have to be the best at it. Like, there's a, that's a real driving force in my life. And that part of me is so quiet right now. It's so quiet. And it's not that I don't have ambition. I think I have more ambition than ever before. Mm. It's not that I don't have vision. It's just that I'm in a season of contraction, of like whatever is coming has to be really different than what I, than what is happening right now. And I'm letting go of things right and left. And so when we got into that meeting and we're having this conversation, and I really do want to, again, shout out to Mike Morse, our, the president of the network, for guiding us with such a gentle, caring hand. I mean, how lucky we are. And now I'm going to get emotional. How lucky we are to have someone who cares about us as people and has a lot of wisdom. And it's like, no, like, I don't think I'm going to let you drive yourselves into the ground. Like, I don't think we're going to do that. So when we, when that decision was made, it just felt like a lot of peace for me, because I've, you know, we've been in this space where we're like, it's all too much and not sure what to do. And it's not really in my nature or my instinct to figure out how to let something go, because for my whole life, that's felt like failure, similar. And I just feel a little bit lucky that at this moment, at the moment that this is happening, everything else in my world is changing. It's already changing. And so this is like just like one more drop in the bucket. And so I felt like some relief and some peace, because it was aligning with what's already going on. So our experiences at the moment were really different. Although, you know, I think with any ending, talking about it, like really talking about it, is so important, because there's so much more going on underneath the surface, right? There's no simple story here. There never has been.
No.
And so when you can really share like how you feel, where you come from, why, you know, what kind of meaning that you're making, I think you realize like, oh, we actually have a lot in common. We have a lot to offer one another, and we can go through a hard thing together and provide comfort to one another.
Well, and I think at one point it felt so hypocritical. You know, that's one thing that I've really reflected on is how hypocritical it felt. And I remember, you know, I had a client who said something to me, a couple of them actually, who just said, you know, I listened to that You Can't Have It All episode. And my gosh, did it wreck, like, it just resonated with me. Right? Resonated with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had honest conversations with them. I'm like, yeah, you know what, though? I was a hypocrite sitting there and, and spewing it and not living it.
Right.
And, you know, I had people hold me in high regard. Like, look at everything you're doing. You're amazing. No, 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 no.
Right.
Do not put me on a pedestal.
Right.
And I didn't like that. I didn't like the pedestal, because it was a fake one.
Yeah.
And it was one built on burnout and exhaustion and running myself rampant. And that is not what we started this podcast for.
Right. Yeah. If I had been listening to our episodes, which I do, by the way, I would be like, you know, sorority snapping along, being like, yes, queen, like, yes, you cannot have it all. It would speak to my soul.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go back and you're like, hold on, let me just do it all. Let me just try to do it all at the same time. It, it does remind me a little bit of when I was in graduate school and I had a baby in graduate school and I had three other kids and I did. And people would be like, I don't know how you do it. You're amazing. I'm like, I'm insane.
No, I'm nuts.
Yeah. This is not a, this is not like, what you're seeing is not like, this a is well not okay. planned out strategy. No. It's like, this is like self-destructive. But also, I guess I think it just comes back to when you see somebody and you see the outside of their life and it seems impossible, let me just tell you that it is. Mm-hmm. And there's always more to the story. There's always more to the story. And I think we spend a lot of time looking at one another, at all the things, and we say, God, she does all that. Like, why can't I? Well, let us just tell you, as two of those she's, like, something's got to give.
Something's got to give. You know, it's interesting when I sat down and finally told my kids, because these two, man, are kids, right? Man, have they been cheerleaders for honest women for a while. And I sat down and we were playing cards and I told both my kids, and you know, it was such a great conversation with my daughter, especially because she watches me, she tries to be me. And that was another one where I got to tell her, like, you have to know when it's enough. But it was interesting because she said something and I can't remember what she, but my son's response is, she's not quitting the podcast. She's choosing us.
Oh, wow.
You guys, he's from a, like, he's been here before. Like, I don't know. He just, his wisdom is just next level all the time. And she looks at me and she's like, oh, you're my room mom this year. And I'm like, and I'm planning one hell of a Halloween party. You know me. I can't throw like a
Is there going to be a balloon arch?
Girl, no, but there's going to be maybe some like animal organs from the anatomy place studio.
Ew.
Oh,
girl.
Oh, you know me. If I do things, I do it, right? But I was like, I want to throw myself into that right now too. And but it was, I mean, my son, man, she's not quitting. She's choosing us. And it was
gosh.
Why are you smarter than anybody else in the house? And you're only eight.
Oh, it's so beautiful. You know what I think we need to do? Let's take a break. And then let's come back, share a little bit of the gratitude that we felt for this. And let's tell everyone what's up next for us and where they can find us after today. I think it is important at the end of any sort of project or season to look back and go, man, you know, and feel some of that pride for what we've accomplished. Oh. And it can be hard when you're grieving and when you're sad or mad or whatever to be able to sit with it. And it can be hard to hold the end of a good thing, but like we need to hold the end of a good thing. So what are you grateful for? Like, what are you proud of?
You know what I was just thinking actually is, so what our listeners don't know is we have probably taken more like pauses in this recording than we have in a long time. And they can't see the two amazing people that are, I'm going to start crying again. Good Lord. The two amazing people that are on this screen. I can't even say it with a straight face. I can't even say it without crying because I have so much gratitude. You got to take over. I can't talk.
We really got to live a big part of this dream in working with our amazing producer, Casey Spivey, and our top freaking notch editor, Jonathan Moffitt. You guys made us – you made us look good. You made us sound good. You pulled the very best out of what we had to offer. And it was a real dream. And so, you know, it is crazy to work with people who just are so good at what they do and just make something a joy. And so, yes.
Like, we got to work with it. Remember sitting and being like, we have a producer and an editor.
We have a producer. We have an executive producer.
Like, not forget being like, wow.
Yeah.
How are we? And it was a sense of, I can't believe we were. I mean, it was a total, I can't believe our show and somebody sees enough in it to deem us worthy to work with the people like this. I mean, so much gratitude for it. That's where, again, it's so hard to walk away when you have this amazing team that, Andrew, when we started with our little mics, like by ourselves, like this was just a pipeline dream.
Right.
That maybe one day somebody will help us edit or help us produce it, or a network's going to pick us up. And it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're so grateful. I agreed. And I want to just call out Burt Weiss for finding us, for welcoming us to the Burt Show. Everyone on the Burt Show, holy cow. Again, another dream to be on the radio, just like such a gift. Mike Morris, we've mentioned you a few times, making it awkward. We love you. Ben Juster, from very first day, you have encouraged us. And again, just, man, you've made this real. Casey, we mentioned you. Jonathan. Amy, for holding down the business end of Pioneer. You are the do-everything woman, and we appreciate you. And Cassie Young for marketing, man. I mean, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. I really hope I didn't leave anybody out. I mean, shout out to Jonathan.
I feel like
again,
you're giving an Oscar speech.
Well, kind of.
I'd like
I mean,
to
don't
thank
you feel
the
like,
Academy.
100%. Don't you feel like you have to thank everybody? And I want to thank us, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, two youngish ladies with a dream. We worked our asses off.
Oh,
we put
God.
Out more than 90 episodes.
I worked so hard, I ended up in the ER.
Right. Okay. Well, don't do that. Don't
I'm kidding.
Do that again.
That was not the podcast
that was not
fault.
That's not what we're recommending.
No.
But you know, it's hard to have a dream and to go out and do it. Like we did something that honestly, like we. Sometimes I'm like, we had no business doing. We had no idea what we were doing.
Like, who's listening to us? I mean, even seeing the numbers.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah. We did not calculate because I don't know, but tens of thousands of downloads over the course of the last year and a half. We're rapidly approaching 100,000 downloads. That's wild, right?
And we're quitting. That's what's crazy.
You're not quitting, Jessica. It's the end.
Can we retract? This
no, episode. We can't.
I'm kidding. I just have to give her a brief, like, heart palpitation there.
Yeah.
One last time.
I'm proud of us. I'm proud of us for, you know, for being honest, for busting our butts and for trying something new and for working through a lot of stuff, like for growing individually as people and together. You know, it's been a journey. I'm proud of the journey.
It's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
It is. Yeah, I can truly say that like this project has changed me in terms of like who I am.
Oh, yeah.
Not just my skill set and what I can do, but my confidence, my belief in my message, direction of my life. I mean, could not have done that without you. So I'm grateful for you. Jessica, I'm talking to Jessica. I'm grateful for our listeners too, for the women who show up every week. Oh my gosh, for all the messages that we've got that encouraged us to keep going, people saying that it resonated. I mean, you really did encourage us to keep going. And that's probably the thing that I'm saddest about.
Me too.
With the end of this project, you know.
Me too. The community, because there really is such a sense of community that was built. And again, because it was just abrupt, it wasn't planned. It truly wasn't planned. It was just kind of the natural place it needed to go.
Yeah. If we had planned it, we would have landed the plane a little better. Like,
I'm pretty good at just like crash landing. Boom.
I mean,
here I am.
Essentially, that's kind of what we did, but that's all right. It's fine. So how about
where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here? Where are you going? What
where
can people
are
do
you going?
If they want to talk to Jessica, if they want to hear from you?
You know, here's the thing is that over this past year and a half, I have grown in so many ways. What I have learned, the biggest thing I've learned is that you really can't have it all at the same time. I still actually do believe that everything that I want, I still will achieve. I just need to slow it down a little bit and kind of just be a little strategic about what that's going to look like. You can find me actually right here, just not on the podcast, but here. You know, here's what I have learned, and I'll say it again, is that, you know, grief is this one thing that isolates us, right? So when you're going through this really profoundly difficult experience, the thought process is often you're alone in it. Mm-hmm. And yet grief is the one thing that universally connects every single human being out there. And I really realized that. And so I'm expanding just my grief world, and that's going to look different in many, many ways. It will still be within my practice because I love that work I do, but it is about the grief of life and working through that dream that isn't looking how you thought it would look, the marriage that isn't working out, the friendships that have ended, you know, grieving the loss of the mom you thought you would have, even though she's still here. And so you can find me here on and go to my website, jlhutchison.com, not and Hutchinson. We'll put
that in, no, we'll put that in the show notes.
We'll put in the show notes and sign up for my emails because I am going to be announcing things over the next few months and get on my email list so you know what that is going to look like. If you want or you're interested in therapy and or coaching, I am doing that. I have more time to do that now. So I will be leaning into that. I have some trainings that will be coming out in the next few months that have been sitting on my computer and I have not had time for them. That will be coming out in the next few months as well. You can find me on social media, which we will link this all in our show notes so you know where to find us. Mm-hmm. You're up, well, sis.
I'm up. Well, I'm, like I said, I'm in a really big pivot point in my life, in my work. I mentioned this a few episodes ago, I think, but I'm at a season where I'm actually contracting the amount of in-person one-on-one therapy or coaching that I'm doing. So I'm going through that, which has proven to be a horrible, painful process right now of
grief.
It is more grief,
it is
right?
A lot of grief.
And, you know, it's so interesting, like I said before, how momentum can keep you going. So, you know, even as I knew, like, I've got to reduce the number of client hours that I use one-on-one every day, I'm like, but I love you, but I'll see you next week, you know? Like, you're amazing, and I don't want to stop working with you, right, as I'm sitting across from individual clients, which just has made this, like, terrible. It's made it really terrible. But trying to use a lot of wisdom to determine who I'm going to continue working with and who's ready to move into their next season. That's what's going on right now. So while I'm doing that, like you said before, my passion for this project, for taking therapy out of the therapy room and making it more accessible, connecting with people in a different way, it is as high as ever. And so I'm pursuing a track in public speaking that starts in January. I'm super excited about that. I've been working on a direct-to-consumer course about one of the things I'm most passionate about, which is that when you have children, which is like can be the best thing of your whole life, it might also be the worst thing for your marriage. We've laughed about this before. But
oh, yeah.
Having children changes everything. It changes your marriage, changes your identity, it changes your finances, your time, every single thing. That's a pain point that I've come across almost universally. And so I am creating a program that our listeners and anybody can actually work through to help provide some of that comfort wherever you are at. And I was not personally ready to stop podcasting when we finished our meeting. And so I'm actually going to be here, like right here, podcasting, starting next week, if I get my act together, maybe, probably very soon, very soon. So, you know, a month ago when we were dealing with some challenges in our recording schedule, Jessica and I decided that we would take a shot at doing a solo episode, and I liked it. So I'm going to be doing that with a podcast with a new name. It's going to be called Sounds Like Therapy, because it does sound like therapy, and short solo episodes, and it's going to show up right here where you're listening. And I'm nervous. I'm scared. Never really done this on my own, but I'm excited because I just am not ready to let this thing go. And I feel really lucky to have Jessica's support in that. So yeah, a lot of taking all the things that I do outside of the therapy room and pulling the lever on those, but it's requiring me to reduce the number of therapy hours that I do. And I'm doing that too. Just like Jessica, sign up for my emails. I will have my website here in the show notes. I'm very lazy on social media right now, but soon and very soon I will be posting all the time
because you'll have the time.
Because I will have the time because I, you know, you can't have it all, but I could have that if I don't have all my therapy hours. So who knows? Social media maybe, but definitely emails, courses, and podcast right here.
So I think at the end of the day, honest women might be coming to a close. Mm-hmm. But Andrea's story, my story, it's just the end of a chapter. Mm-hmm. That's how I think I've looked at this, is this chapter is ending, but the book is far from over. Mm-hmm. So make sure you visit the show notes. You can also look at, we still have our website up until early next year. That is going to have some information on where you can find Andrea, where you can find me, because if you haven't learned through listening, we still are forces and we still have some pretty big goals and some really awesome dreams that we are going to cheerlead one another towards. They're just going to look a little different now.
Thank you so much, Jess. Thank you to the whole team. Thank you to all of our listeners. It has been a true joy. I'm not going to cry, so I think we'll have to say thank you for listening to Honest Women.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.